This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. Joined by Mary Lucas from Transitions Life Care, here's your host, Jason Kong.
Welcome to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680, WPTF News, Talk, Traffic. Thank you so much for being here with us today. I'm Jason Kong, and I have the pleasure here of being here with Carson Sellers of Transitions Life Care. Mary has the week off. Carson, how are you doing today?
Doing well, and yourself?
I'm doing great. Excited for the program today. You know, we're all getting in to the holiday spirit around here, and that can mean different things for different people. And one of the things that we'd like to focus on around this time of year is resources for those who may be dealing with grief over the holidays, because this is something that none of us are immune to. And we are really happy to welcome back on the show Alexandra Flaumer, and she is owner of Whole Person Consulting, and she's a grief educator and coach. Alexandra, thank you so much for coming back on the show today.
Thank you for having me, Jason and Carson.
Absolutely. Let's dive right in. I'm really excited to hear you talk about today's topic. So first, if you just want to tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started in your current role, and more specifically, just grief counseling in general.
Certainly. First of all, I am a bereaved daughter and a mother of two young boys, and that is a really big part of my story and why I do what I do. I own Whole Person Consulting, where I have the opportunity to bring my passion and skills together through leadership development work, which is where most of my career has been in, as well as coaching and grief work. And in the grief work space, this includes providing education to organizations who are often very, I don't want to say unprepared, but it's a skill area that we don't have as much conversation around. And I also provide grief coaching for individuals. So what brought me into this space, as I mentioned, was the loss of my mother. She passed in 2020 from leukemia very quickly and right before the pandemic, a month before the whole world shut down. So I had a 6-month-old and a 2.5-year-old, and I was moving through my grief while the whole world was in pain. And about a year after losing her, in my career experience in leadership development, I was moving towards this path of pursuing my credentials in coaching. And as I started more coaching with individuals, I had this mindset or this assumption in my mind that I was doing this to become a better leadership coach. And that might be true, but what I found was that people who were finding me oftentimes had underlying elements of loss that were part of their current story. Even if it was a career coaching conversation they were having, they were thinking about interviews, there was this element of loss that was coming forward. And I really wanted to listen into that. And what I realized through that experience was that I have this amazing opportunity, based on my exposure and my skills and the love for my mother, to drive important conversations in workplaces and support grieving individuals. And I also had the awareness that my experience might be very relatable to certain people. It is only one experience in grief. So I went off and became a certified grief educator to gain more knowledge about the complexities of grief, the different types of grieving, and how it can show up for us emotionally and physically. So I am very appreciative of this conversation, because I think oftentimes we avoid emotions that are tricky, and grief through the holidays can be tricky and something that we avoid. So thank you for holding space for this conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is very touching the way that you were able to take your loss and channel it into something positive and helping others. So that's truly amazing. if you don't mind me asking, what was your first holiday like without your mom, and what were some of your emotions or experiences during that time?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. First of all, the year of firsts for a lot of people can be very hard. And when I say that, I mean the first Mother's Day without your mom, the first Father's Day without your dad, the first Valentine's Day or anniversary without your partner. Those can create significant moments in your grief journey. And through the holidays, we have a lot of days of significance, and oftentimes times of transition, or tradition that kind of come forward all at once. So it just makes everything so much bigger for many of us who are grieving. And my experience was no exception. I also had my mom's birthday between Thanksgiving and we celebrate Christmas. So it was like three big moments all at once. I had two toddlers and was putting a lot of pressure on myself to make the holidays memorable for them while I was still navigating the deep sadness and pain. And so I asked my therapist for suggestions. I'm definitely a planner. So I thought, okay, I know this is going to be a hard season for me. I'm going to get the right advice so that I can manage this in the best possible way. And she had asked me, you know, is there an opportunity for you to honor your mom during these moments that you are trying to make memorable for yourself and your family? So I thought about that, and there is this traditional meal that she typically makes on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day with salmon and asparagus and noodles. And I thought, okay, I'm definitely going to remake that meal in honor of her, and it's very good. And the other thing that I landed on was I really wanted to create a physical reminder of what I believed is her everlasting love for me and my family. So I created a physical place setting at the table in honor of her. And I went and grabbed a really nice crystal whiskey goblet that she had. It was from Ireland, which is part of our heritage, and she had given to my husband and I when we got married. And I put a little bit of a small pour of this really nice whiskey in it. And for me, you know, it might have seemed strange to others, but it gave me this very physical reminder that her love was still with me. And then I got past the holiday and I thought, oh, box checks. I'm a good therapy student. I made it through the holidays. And the next week, the exhaustion just landed so hard with me. So what I learned through that experience is that part of my experience with grief is that I can oftentimes anticipate and navigate the days of significance, and I can't avoid the emotional and physical needs that I will need in a moment of grief. So it was a common pattern after that I would find myself tired after, very tired and very, and have some some deep emotional moments in the few days after a specific day of significance as it related to my mother. Same thing happened when we approached her heaven anniversary. The week after was very tiring for me. So my advice, if you are a planner and maybe you're also trying to be a good therapy student like I was, is that planning can be very helpful in anticipating moments and honoring yourself and being and honoring your loved one. And you cannot plan your way through every moment in grief. So don't be hard on yourself, especially if you're an achiever, if you need to rest.
That's great advice. Yeah, that's great advice. Absolutely.
Yeah, and we can all fall into little traps like that, especially if we are planners on our own right. But that's great advice. We're speaking with Alexandra Flaumer. She is owner of Whole Person Consulting. She's also a grief educator and coach. And we're going to continue our conversation with her right after this. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9 107.5 and AM 680 WPTF News Talk Traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF AM 680 and WPTF.com with your host, Mary Lucas and Jason Kong.
Welcome back to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5 and AM 680 WPTF News Talk Traffic. Thank you so much for being here with us today. I'm Jason Kong alongside Carson Sellers in for Mary Lucas today with Transitions Life Care. And we're talking all about grief and how we are handling that over the holidays. And we are very pleased to have on with us Alexandra Flaumer. She is owner of Whole Person Consulting. She's a grief educator and coach, and she shared a lot of good strategies with us in our first segment. And Carson, let's get right back to it. Where should we pick up?
Yeah, absolutely. So you were sharing a little bit about some of the rituals that you did to cope with the loss of your mom. Are there any others that you did to remember her? And how do these simple acts help honor a loved one while also allowing space for grief?
I love this question. Thank you, Carson. Yes. So as I mentioned, for me, after reflecting on my mom had such a big presence through the holidays, she was one of those people who really brought the magic into so many moments. So it almost felt overwhelming at first thinking of how I could honor her. And as I mentioned, I ended up landing that first year on creating meals in her liking and also having that physical place setting. And it is exactly what you had asked, is it created physical space to validate my grief. So in many ways, it was a way for me to honor my mom. What it also did for me was we have in grief a deep need for our grief to be seen. And I was surrounded by a lot of people I loved. And by having that place setting, I felt very seen by others because they saw the physical reminder of her love and her absence. So to me, that allowed space, and it also offered up an opportunity for my loved ones to show support for me. Now, my family has done, has tried out other rituals that has worked for them. One of the options that I suggest to people is to consider carrying on a tradition that loved one might have taken on the responsibility of in the past. My sister chose to take on the tradition of doing adult stocking. So my mom, well into our adulthood, there's four of us kids, would always make adult stockings. And, you know, on Easter, she even made adult Easter baskets. I think one year she had beers in the yard instead of Easter eggs. So there, in that sense, my older sister said, you know, that's something I want to do. And so each Christmas, she still continues to make stockings for all of the adult siblings. And then, and I live in a different state than the rest of my family. So I then send her little gifts for her own stocking in return. I have another sister who one year took on some of the philanthropy efforts that my mom had done in the past. So this is another option that you have, is if your loved one was giving of themselves in some way or donated to a specific cause, you can also carry on that tradition in their honor, or you can, you know, give to an organization that matters as it relates to your lost loved one. So it's, you know, for my mom, we've made donations to advance research in leukemia in honor of her. What my sister did that was interesting is my mom used to, and it wasn't every year, but she used to find different nonprofits that sold products that then went to, the profits would go towards a greater cause. And so there's a local one in Minnesota that does a lot of like rice meals, and they have a marketplace where it will say like this decoration covers 50 meals for people in struggling areas. And so she took on that tradition and got gifts for everyone one year that were from different nonprofits that had that like greater span of giving in honor of her. Another ritual that you can take on is if you are spiritual, there might be a way that you can bring in prayer or your spiritual connection into the holiday. My mother had, after my grandpa had passed, he always had this prayer that was to be said before a meal, and it was laminated in his wallet. And she would pull that out every Thanksgiving, every Easter, every Christmas, and say it before we started our meal. So that's another tradition we've taken on, regardless of what state we're in, is pulling out that card and sharing that prayer before we come together. So there's a lot of different options to, pull in those rituals. And I would say, really, I'm giving you ideas. You're the only person who's going to know what matters to you. And perhaps everything I just listed isn't something that would make you feel seen or fulfilled. So this is where really listening to your own passions, reflecting on who your loved one was, and perhaps even journaling about it might bring you some clarity on how you can create that space and honor your loved one and your own grief.
Absolutely. Everybody's different, but those are some great ways that you can feel close to your loved one in the holiday season, even dealing with grief. So we've spoken a lot about how the holidays can bring about a crazy mix of emotions, from joy to sadness. How can someone handle the emotional dissonance of feeling joy for the season while also experiencing deep grief?
Yeah, this is a common experience for people in grief. And I would say this is a common experience with any complex emotions, is that you can have two what could be seen as conflicting emotions about the same thing at the same time. So the first advice I would give you is know that and validate that. And remember that this is an experience that's very relatable to anyone who is navigating loss through the holidays. It's not uncommon to feel guilt or confusion when you experience joy for the first time after losing a loved one. That can happen independent of the holiday season. However, during the holidays, there's a lot of opportunities to experience a lot of joy. So it can happen repetitively for you over a series of weeks. And while this isn't everyone's experience, what I've seen is that this can be especially relatable to people who are people pleasers. They might be conflict avoidant, or they're very loyal. So if the person you lost is somebody of significance in your life, and maybe they left this world too soon in your mind, there's this experience of, well, I'm having this joyful time with others, and now I feel bad about it because this person isn't here to experience it with us, which is very real for a lot of people to have that sadness in that moment. And then it's followed by, oh, and I shouldn't be happy then. So what you can do in those moments is know that this emotional experience is normal. Remind yourself of that. Remind yourself that multiple emotions can exist at the same time, and that your ability to experience joy does not diminish your love and sadness for your loved one. In fact, if your loved one was a particularly joyful individual, especially in the holiday season, this might be an opportunity for you to honor their love that they had for all of you. So one of the pieces that we can do is to also remove ourselves, we have so much self-talk that can work against us. And it can be helpful in moments like this to step outside of ourselves and ask ourselves, what if they were here right now, what would they be saying to me in this moment? And that can sometimes help us maybe be a little bit kinder to ourselves and lessen those feelings of guilt.
That's a great strategy, and those are great reminders for us because, yeah, this can be a complex situation. We can start feeling all these different things, but it is normal. We're speaking with Alexandra Flaumer. She is owner of Whole Person Consulting. She's also a grief educator and coach, and she is helping us out with tips today about how to handle grief over the holiday season. And we're going to continue our conversation with her right after this. You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680, WPTF News, Talk, Traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. 60 minutes devoted to giving you all the information you need when caring for a loved one with Mary Lucas and Jason Kong. If you have questions for the show, you can email agingmatters@transitionslifecare.org.
You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680. WPTF News, Talk, Traffic. Jason Kong here with Carson Sellers of Transitions Life Care. She's in for Mary Lucas, and we are speaking with Alexandra Flaumer. She is owner of Whole Person Consulting, and she's a grief educator and coach. And grief is the name of the game today. We're talking about experiencing grief over the holidays and some strategies that we may be able to employ to help us deal with that, because especially for those of us who are dealing with this for one of the first times, it can be a whole new experience that we may not be ready for. So we appreciate Alexandra being here with us. And Carson, we were just kind of wrapping up a discussion related to some things that we can remember as we may be feeling some joy and also some sadness over the holidays, and some strategies there. And, you know, we were kind of getting into a discussion about self-talk, and I know we want to pivot eventually to self-care, but where should we pick up here?
Yeah, absolutely. So along with all of these emotions that grief and the holidays bring, the holidays often come with social pressures and expectations as well that are sure to influence that. First, I want to talk about the importance of prioritizing self-care over pleasing others. Can we dive in there?
Certainly. And social pressures are, I relate to that so much right now. As a mother of two young boys, there's no shortage of activities at school, outside of school, with the family, with friends that come up. It is so easy to fall into the trap of focusing on all of the external things and not prioritizing ourselves. So, not to give a commercial on coaching, but I do want to share that this, if you have grief that is intersecting with a core construct of your personality, like the being a generous human being or perhaps a people pleaser, this is really good stuff to work through with a coach, because coaching is all about let's get real about where you are at in this moment, what stories you're currently telling yourself, because that self-talk can be a pretty judgmental voice at times. Let's poke holes in it and figure out what stories serve you better so that you can move forward in a way that serves you best. In the meantime, I have two articles off on my website on wholepersonconsulting.com that cover both grieving through the holidays, which is summer. It summarizes some of the conversation we're having today, And I have one around people pleasing through the holidays. So I would recommend, if this is relatable to you, go read those articles, take what serves you, leave what doesn't, and try some things out to figure out what serves you best in prioritizing yourself. And what I would tell you in this moment is that none of us are robots, and your needs and desires matter as much as everyone else in your life and who you love and care about. So instead of putting, if we're thinking about a pyramid, in the top of the pyramid are the people that matter most to you and the choices you make that support them, you should fit in that top of that pyramid. Your worth is as important as everybody else's, and your needs to care for yourself are as important as everyone else's. And it's a very beautiful quality to be giving, generous, altruistic, and care about everyone else's well-being. And the best way you can do that is to care for yourself at the same time.
Absolutely. That's very important. So do you have any steps or advice on how someone grieving during this time can set healthy boundaries?
Yes. The first thing that I want to say is I am giving you permission to flake out on plans. And I know that is probably against some of our listeners' DNA to ever consider not going to an activity after we have committed to it. And I would argue that if you are surrounded by people who genuinely love you, they will understand. Now, it's really hard to start rewriting that story. If we have never canceled or said no to a commitment that could be important to somebody else, we have to start challenging and creating examples that prove to us that the world is not going to fall apart when we respect our own boundaries. So I would recommend that you start practicing some simple messages. And you can even start by speaking to yourself in the mirror or by journaling. So consider this an opportunity to reflect for yourself on what you want, or write a letter to your loved one that includes some of these messages that you want to start sharing with others. So some of these messages can look like practicing saying, this year, I am prioritizing my emotional needs as I'm navigating this first season without so-and-so. And I would say, even if this isn't your first season, maybe it's your second or third season without a loved one, sometimes that second or third year can actually hit you harder than the first year. Because the first year, depending on when you lost someone, the nature of the loss, you might still be in shock and just sort of going through the motions of the holidays. And the loss may have not really sat in until after that. So practicing something that feels true to you around that message of, hey, I'm trying to care for myself more than I've done in the past. And as I'm navigating this season, which is a little tricky for me because of the loss of X, Y, and Z. Now, another way that you can practice this, especially for people pleasers, we can tell ourselves stories like, I'm letting everybody down if I don't go to this activity, or I'm letting everyone down if I don't participate or I don't give in a certain way. I would challenge you to practice communicating that. So you can say things like, the story I'm telling myself right now is that if I come to this, there's going to be pressure for me to look like I'm better. And I want everyone to have a good time, but I need to be authentic to myself, and I can't promise every moment that I'm going to be putting on a happy face. And see how people respond. Because again, if you're surrounded by people who really love you, they might be trying to figure out how to support you. Supporting someone in grief can be very challenging, especially if they haven't experienced their own loss. And so by airing out, hey, this is the story I'm telling myself right now, you're actually offering up an opportunity for someone to show their support. So they might be able to say, like, you know what, Carson, that's, I completely understand. Do not feel obligated to come. Or they might say, Carson, I'm so glad you said something. I don't care if you show up and you don't have a happy face on, and I would love to see you. So if you're feeling it, you know, if you're feeling like coming, I just want to make sure that you know that you have permission not to have a happy face on every minute of that experience. And then remember that sometimes we have to set boundaries with other people who are grieving. So maybe we both, this is between two siblings who have lost the same parent, and sometimes we can place judgment on others when we're in grief. Oh, I grieved this way. I quote unquote got over it. I'm functioning in this way. It's not okay that my sibling is grieving in a different way. So you might experience some of those challenges, and you can remind people that different people grieve differently. And you can say things like, I love you. And in this moment, I'm sending that love from my home where I can take care of myself. A part of this is that with setting boundaries, we also need to let go of the idea that we can control how someone's going to receive that boundary. And that is really good work to also do with a coach, or if you have an existing relationship with a therapist, on how do you really let go of that idea that we can control the perceptions of others.
Yeah, it's hard, and you're dropping some great knowledge here, Alexandra. And thank you for that that pass for everyone to they have permission from you to flake out. I'm glad that I hope someone uses that if they need it. Remember, Alexandra has given you permission. We're speaking with Alexandra Flaumer. She is owner of Whole Person Consulting. She's a grief educator and coach, and we're talking all about how to cope with grief over the holidays, and we're going to continue our conversation with her in our final segment of Aging Matters. Stick around for that. You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680, WPTF, News, Talk, Traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. Joined by Mary Lucas from Transitions Life Care, here's your host, Jason Kong.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680, WPTF, News, Talk, Traffic. Thank you for being here with us. I'm Jason Kong alongside Carson Sellers of Transitions Life Care. She's in for Mary Lucas today, and we have been speaking with Alexandra Flaumer, owner of Whole Person Consulting. She's a grief educator and coach, and we're talking all about how to deal with grief over the holidays. And Carson, we've covered a lot of ground so far, and where we want to pick up is, you know, maybe giving ourselves a little bit of flexibility when it comes to planning.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is very important. So you talk about a plan A, plan B holiday approach in your blog, which everyone should go check out, by the way, on your site. Could you explain how this concept works and why it's important to have a backup plan?
Yeah, this concept was introduced by, I saw it first written by David Kessler, who's a well-known grief expert. And he talks about this idea of sometimes we have a lot of anticipatory anxiety or even resentment when we feel like we have to show up to an activity. So it can be helpful to you have your plan A, which is participating in the meal, the holiday meal, the whatever, the sleigh ride, whatever you signed up for as planned. And what would a plan B alternative be for you? So a plan B could be, instead of going to that big social gathering, that you invite one or two loved ones over to your house to share a meal that that loved one really enjoyed and have some intimate conversation together. Or plan B could be not going at all and ordering pizza and watching a sentimental movie. And what can often happen is that even just having that plan B in place, working out how could I use this time in an alternative way that might serve my needs in that moment, that can reduce that those anticipatory emotions and allow us to be more present if we end up showing up to the plan A. So it is in an interesting way, sort of creating proactive boundaries and opportunities for yourself that helps honor the reality that our emotional needs change day to day when we are on our grief journey, and they can get exacerbated by all of the activities and the holidays.
Very true. Yeah, absolutely. For those supporting someone who is grieving, how can they best offer comfort without unintentionally minimizing their grief?
Yeah, this is something that happens more times than we really talk about, is that in an effort to be supportive and help someone in their grief, we can unintentionally dismiss their emotions. So first, I would say that it is important for those who are trying to support someone who's grieving to remember that there is no one right way to grieve. And most people have a fundamental need for their grief to be seen. So let go of the idea that there is a certain expectation of behaviors that you have and how someone is experiencing grief, and that there is a timeline, because there really is no timeline to grief. So if we remind ourselves of those realities, that will help us withhold judgment that can then unintentionally influence the types of things that we're saying to the person we are actually trying to support. So statements to avoid, I would avoid saying things like, at least they're not suffering anymore, or embrace the season, they'd want you to. Those are coming from a good place. They're usually coming from someone who is trying to provide a silver lining moment, or they're trying to help someone have a little bit less sadness and more joy in their day. And again, that's coming from a place that we were just talking about as a people pleaser, trying to let go of the idea that we can control someone else's perceptions. We also, if we're trying to support someone in grief, need to let go of the idea that we can control someone's emotions, period. So let the statements like that go. A harsher version of this would be saying something like, well, everyone else has moved on, it's time to get over it. That would not land with somebody, especially if they're repeating stories. That's kind of an indication that they haven't felt like their grief is seen yet. And one that is always coming from a good place, but doesn't always land, is saying things like, at least they're in a better place now. So unless you are very, very aware of someone's spiritual connection and they have shown you enough signals that saying something like that would help bring them peace, it actually can help, it can cause them to feel guilty for being sad. So there's a difference between the knowing or belief that somebody is in a better place and the reality that that does not take away from the fact that somebody still has every right to be mourning the loss of future memories together with that person. So similar to how we were speaking earlier about how two emotions can exist at the same time about the same situation, this is one of those moments where your spiritual awareness or belief can exist, and you can still be sad that that person isn't physically with you. So try to avoid those statements. Instead, I would recommend that you focus on acknowledging their loss. You can check in by saying, hey, I know this season can be hard. How are you? And don't be afraid to say the person's name. So sometimes we feel like when we're trying to support someone, if we're stressed out, one of our responses can be to freeze. So instead of fight or flight response and stress, we can just freeze up. And in conversation, we don't know what to say. We don't have the right words. Know that honoring, saying something like, hey, I know this can be hard. How are you? And actually saying the person's name can be so significant for the receiver. And then I would recommend that you stick with asking open-ended supportive questions. A really good one to ask is, how can I be a good friend to you right now? And they might say, I have no idea. I don't know. Ask me tomorrow. So keep asking it. That's okay to check in. In grief, we can, especially in the early days, our cognition can be really impacted. There's a lot of brain fog that we can be navigating. So when that person says, I don't know, they might actually really not be able to tap in and think about that. And by checking in again later, you might be offering up them an opportunity to get them to, you know, pull some other ideas together and how you can support them.
Absolutely.
Two other pieces that, oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I would recommend that you invite without pressure. So we tend to have a lot of holiday parties around this time of year, gift exchanges, things like that. Offering an invitation for someone to join in those holiday activities can show a lot of support. And you can emphasize, and I understand if you're not feeling it that day. So you can give them, I just gave permission to all of our grievers to flake. You can also show your support by saying, and if you wake up that day and you're not feeling it, I'm not going to be mad at you. So do what you need that day. We'd love to see you if you're able to come, and we totally understand if you can't. So respect their decision if they choose not to participate. And lastly, just be patient and non-judgmental. Grief is unpredictable, and people might not always react in ways that you expect. They might come off very agitated one day because perhaps they're trying to push their own emotions aside. And then that can kind of come forward in ways like irritability and being short with others. And then the next day, they might be feeling very sentimental. So try to really be present for them and reserve judgment. That's going to be the best way that you can really show up with your own support and love for others.
That's wonderful. And Alexandra, if folks want to learn more about you and Whole Person Consulting and the blog that Carson mentioned earlier, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, please come to my website. It is wholepersonconsulting.com. And you can also find me on Instagram at wholepersongrief. And I will oftentimes on that channel post some simple journaling or mindfulness prompts to aid in our journey through grief.
Excellent. Wholepersonconsulting.com or wholepersongrief on Instagram. Alexandra Flaumer, owner of Whole Person Consulting, a grief educator and coach. Thank you so much for your time again today. This was just such a tremendous amount of helpful information. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
Well, that is going to do it for us today. Special thanks to Alexandra Flaumer for being our guest on the show today. Thanks to Carson Sellers for directing the conversation. And thanks to you for listening. We appreciate it. A reminder, you can go to WPTF.com and click on Aging Matters under shows, and you can find all the podcasts there, including this episode. If you would like to share it with someone who may be in need of some of this information, or maybe you want to check out our archive, it's all online at WPTF.com. That's going to do it for us today. I'm Jason Kong, thanking you for listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680, WPTF, news, talk, traffic. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680. And WPTF.com. For more information, log on to TransitionsLifeCare.org.